This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Most of us are preoccupied with finding the love of our lives, but what we may not realize is that falling in love with ourselves has to come first. My guest today, Nicole Caggiola, is the founder of The Nourish Goddess, and her mission is to help women understand how enjoying real food, cultivating spirit, and embracing pleasure and guiltless indulgence can help them fall head over heels in love with themselves. Nicole is here today to talk to us about how creating a healthy sense of self from within is really the most important form of self-care. She's also going to give us some tips for how we can holistically recharge and replenish ourselves and really just get to the core of how we could lead a healthy life. So, Nicole, welcome to the show. I'm so honored to have you on with me today.
Oh, hi, Erica. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I just love that your story is incredible, and also just the fact that you really are inspired by helping others create this form of self-love. And people always, I think that I work with, or get confused. They say, oh, is that selfish? You know, am I being too selfish? Or is this something that is healthy? And I'm always kind of leaning more towards, you know, you have to be healthy first, mind, body, and spirit, for everything and everyone around you to do well, as you know, also. So how do you begin to help people see that, like, self-love, self-care has to come first?
Yeah, that's so great. So it's really about connecting with your inner knowing, you know, and I call that our inner goddess for women. And she's really that calm and neutral inner voice, and knowing what's best for us, you know, what our bodies need as far as nourishment and movement, and really keeping us strong, you know, when our confidence is shaken and when the hurricane of life seems to be crumbling everything around us. It's that strong sense of self that keeps us strong and moving forward. And that part inside of us is really the ultimate form of self-love. And so reconnecting with our inner knowing and living from that place just means you are honoring the real you and your authenticity.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, in the line of work that I do, working with people that are recovering from something or just have gone down a path that hasn't served them, and now they're trying to find their authentic self and find, you know, a new identity, they'll say, you know, I just don't know how to even begin that process. I've been harming myself for so long, or I've been in old patterns that didn't serve me. So how in your own life, I mean, I know that you are open to talking about how you've become a more healthier human being, but how have you begin to change your story, and how do you help people see that there, even if they don't know how, there's kind of a step process to cultivate the self-love?
So the first thing that really worked for me and that I work on with my clients is kind of going into that darkness, that part of ourselves that we kind of try to suppress and push away that we don't like, and get curious with that and really sit there with it. You know, take some time out to get really quiet and sit there with it and get curious and ask, you know, why is this happening? You know, if you're a jealous person, like, why am I jealous? You know, what about this other person is so envious? You know, what do I like about them? Because it's a mirror. Because what you like about them, you have within yourself. And it's just all about accessing that. And there's this duality that we all have, you know, the yin and the yang. And it isn't about shaming or guilting that darker side of us that society might think is unacceptable or annoying or selfish. It's just really about honoring and respecting and celebrating it all. You know, loving the whole self and being okay with our imperfections, because we're all perfectly imperfect. Right. And just have fun, you know, most of all, have fun and really ignite your senses and take pleasure in life, you know, especially the little things. Just enjoy it all.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. And how did you begin to start The Nourish Goddess, which is your company? And how did you begin to come up kind of with your mission and inspiring others?
Yeah. The reason I got into this work is because I was really lost in, like I said earlier, that hurricane of life, you know, and in that victimhood I was in. I couldn't tell which way was up. I couldn't tell which way was down. And I never really knew what I wanted. I would think I know what I wanted and go and do it, but it turned out to not be what really came from my authentic self. And so I was always looking for external forces to save me because I didn't know that I was powerful enough to save myself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kind of going back a little ways, I grew up eating a very standard American diet and was just told, oh, you're so skinny, you can eat whatever you want. And so I did. And so that caught up with me in college, you know, and adding in mm-hmm. some excessive drinking and all of that. And I easily gained 25 pounds and I just had a really negative body image of myself, especially in college. There were a lot of really pretty girls around that seemed to have the perfect hair, perfect tan, and perfect teeth. And so when I looked in the mirror, I didn't like what I saw. You know, I had thighs that touched and my stomach wasn't flat and my teeth weren't straight. So I went on a bunch of different diets and really put my body through a lot. And even at one point was taking energy pills with ephedrine to try to curb my appetite. And so from a young age, I just never felt good enough. And my worth was so determined by everything and everyone around me. And I just never measured up. And so I had a big void that I had to fill. And I filled that with shopping, material things. And while there's nothing wrong with enjoying that stuff, you know, I still like to go shopping today. That's fine. But now it comes from a different place. It doesn't fill that void like it used to, because I had to learn to love myself. So I had a couple of aha kind of awakening moments. One with an article that I read by Kimberly Snyder, who is a nutritionist, and she really kind of changed things for me, the way I ate, the way I thought about food. I started to feel better. I looked better. Like, my face was clearing up, and so people were coming up to me. What's going on with you? What's different? Tell me your secret. And so I wanted to help others feel better. And so I went to nutrition school to become a health coach. And fantastic. Still feeling a little bit empty inside, I went on kind of another inner journey and found spirituality and kind of got to know that side of myself that I had never given any attention to, which is my intuition and my inner goddess. So,
fantastic. It's so wonderful. And I really appreciate you having the courage to share your story, because it really does help others. I think all of us can relate to feeling a little uncomfortable with ourselves to some degree. And I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all trying to understand that we each have a purpose here. And I love that you found yours. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us. What are, like, you know, I know that you also do help people kind of get into like a routine. I know when I changed my life, it was very important for me when I started to care for myself to keep that more in like a routine. So even if it's like I took a shower, put lotion on myself, said good job, took a run, said good job about that, cooked a healthy breakfast, told myself good job about that. Like, what are some tips that you can give people to kind of begin those routines and rituals?
Yeah, you're right. It is so important. And it really takes us out of autopilot and puts us into the driver's seat of our life. You know,
yes, and you're making that choice every day.
Yeah, exactly. You're creating your day. And I love the quote by Louise Hay, because she says, how you start your day is how you live your day, and how you live your day is how you live your life.
Love that.
By putting those good habits in at the beginning of the day and starting your day off on the right foot, you're consciously creating your life to unfold that way as well. So I love to suggest the morning success ritual. And I'll tell you kind of what I do and what I guide my clients to do. And then they kind of, put in their own personality to it and do what feels good to them. But just like a basic framework for our listeners here is to, you know, the first thing, get up a little bit early, you know, start with 15 minutes if you can, and start with a cup of warm lemon water, because lemons have, you know, over 200 enzymes to clean your liver. They're going to help clear up your skin and elevate your mood. And then the second thing would be to go to like a quiet space in your home. If you can have a little retreat space that's just for you, that you can be in undisturbed, it could be just a corner of your bedroom that you have some, you know, little knickknacks or something that makes you happy. Like, I have crystals and I have sage and candles on mine. And go to that space for just 5 minutes and visualize yourself kind of going through your day. You know, all of your appointments, all of your phone calls and meetings and a conversation with a boss that you have coming up or something. Go through that and see yourself completing those things as like, a happy version of you, very successfully. And then the third thing would be to, you know, listen to a guided meditation or sit quietly for even just 7 minutes. That's really all that you need to create that space in yourself, mm-hmm. you know, to really be grounded and centered and ready to take on the day. The fourth thing would be to, you know, write out 3 to 4 things that you're grateful for in a journal and just really feel it in your body. You know, feel that gratitude on a very energetic level. It's mm-hmm. one thing to be like, oh, I'm really happy that I have this house. But it's another thing to just feel that gratitude in your whole body. I am so grateful that I have this home that keeps me warm in the winter, that keeps me cool in the summer and protects me from the elements. Because when you're in that state of gratitude, you can't feel anxious or depressed or upset mm-hmm. or unhappy. Right. It's just that feeling that takes over your entire body. And then the last thing would be if you can squeeze in a little bit of a workout, you know, doing some yoga or a HIIT workout or going for a walk, you know, whatever you like to kind of move your body. And this is your time. You know, this is time for self-love. Like, you're cultivating a really good relationship with yourself here. And so you're going to feel amazing when you go to start your day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I could honestly not agree more with all of that because it's all these tips are wonderful for everybody listening, and it's all things that have helped me personally. And I've seen that really help propel people forward that I work with too, when they begin to really understand that this is like a positive domino effect. You know, you do one thing nice for yourself, like take a run or take a walk, and then, you know, you want to eat a good healthy breakfast. You don't want to choose foods that aren't good for you. And then, you know, you also want to have good positive energy around you, not people that are toxic. You know, it all just bleeds into, you know, one thing bleeds into another. And so that's why it's so important for people to set these intentions, like you said, even if it's for 5 minutes in the morning, of like, what is my intention for the day, for my life, for the future, whatever that is. It's really just so powerful to sit in that, like, and be present. So I really love those tips. Thank you very much for that. And so now it seems that you are doing a summit, and I know that that's how you and I connected. And I just want you to have the chance to tell our listeners what that summit is and kind of how you came up with it, what inspired you, and what it's going to be like.
Of course. And I'm so excited to have Erica part of this, everybody. Mm-hmm. So make sure you tune in. It's going to be so great. So it's a free online event. It's starting October 5th. It's called Nourished and Free, Break Out of the Restrictive Diet Cycle and Love Your Body Without Counting Carbs, Points, Calories, or Numbers on the Scale. And you can sign up at nourishedandfree.com. And, you know, I'll be interviewing 21 wellness experts over 21 days from all over the world. We're going to be covering self-love, nutrition, body image coaching, emotional eating, feminine sensuality, spirituality, and so much more. And I really created this series to inspire and empower women to open up to this new world of holistic health and healing and just really nourish their entire mind, body, and spirit. So it's time to, you know, stop dieting and really reconnect with your body's intuition and make a big change in your life. And you don't have to be a chronic dieter to get a lot out of this event. It will really benefit everybody. So,
of course.
And it really comes from my work with clients, and when they come to me saying they've tried everything, they've done the 21-day fix, they've done Atkins, they've done Weight Watchers, and it's just not sustainable for them. They're not seeing the results that they want. And so I'm here to say it doesn't have to be that way. And this event could really change a lot of lives.
And I think people can eat and eat healthy foods and not gain weight and kind of, but not be in scared and in fear that they will. And that's the problem, is getting people over that hump and really seeing that food is not something to fear. Food is something to embrace. And once we change that mindset, I think our body even shifts. Like, the energy is all connected. When
totally.
We fear food and we repress any desire and we're, you know, resisting all the time, I think it just has an opposite effect on our bodies as well.
Yes, absolutely. And when we can open up to that abundance of all the food that is good for us, that makes us feel amazing, instead of living in the restriction of dieting, it's a very small way of living. And to open up to that abundance just puts us in a higher vibration. It helps you get to your own body's natural set point, too.
Absolutely.
We all have a natural weight. So, yeah.
And I just, you know, I've been talking about this lately with people because social media has really become something I'm kind of studying, maybe going to write about that for my second book. But I feel like right now, more than ever in the history of our time, it's so difficult in terms of stepping in our own truth and authentically accepting ourselves because of social media. And there's just such an influx of like information on Instagram or Facebook. And, you know, you see these fitness models and you see this or that. And people, yeah. you know, let's say taking 10 hours a day to work on themselves and you're sitting there at work, you know, in your desk and just like, you know, how am I supposed to get here? And I just really I hope people understand that they have to look at these images and these people's lives and make sure that they don't compare, because you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. And this is just kind of the aesthetic of what's going on in our culture, not really what's still going on internally for all these people. So how do you approach that, since I'm sure you're aware of all this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Media is huge. Oh, it's a big topic. And it's like, to me, you know, especially like the Victoria's Secret fashion show always comes to mind when I think about comparing yourselves to people in media and stuff, because I feel like the collective vibration of women just goes down that night when that show comes on, because there's such a, it's just like a very kind of almost unattainable body type that women would want and women want to emulate. And so I say for people who are comparing themselves, it's that Teddy Roosevelt quote, comparison is the thief of joy. And again, to go inward and understand you have so many amazing qualities. You are powerful. You are more than a number on a scale. These people are probably working out, like you said, 10 hours a day. They've got personal trainers, personal chefs helping them. And to just focus on you, and you will blossom, and you will just have this amazing life that you never even thought possible once you go inward and really get to that place inside of yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Okay. Absolutely. And I urge people to, I suggest, because I think it's helpful for me too. It's just, you know, if you're feeling anxiety over social media, or you're feeling anxiety over following somebody or watching TV like that show, don't watch it. Unfollow these people, you know, like really, I mean, do yourself a favor, because it comes back to self-love again, that, you know, that kind of like that negative self-talk that's created in your head is caused by a thought that's provoked from seeing something, right? Or comparing yourself. So how do we get those thoughts to kind of dissipate is to not, you know, surround yourself with images that are going to constantly cause you anxiety.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just turn it off and just, you know, focus on you. Stay in your lane and just focus on you and what we do. So, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And also creating, I think, creating actions in your life that you're proud of is really helpful too. Like you said, you know, whether it's exercise or taking a moment to visualize something, we have to also be mindful that when you do these things, to be proud of yourself and to say like, good job, you did good today. Or, you know, like if you confronted a conversation that you were, you know, procrastinating and you did it, to say, good job. I just, you know what? I stepped into this. I was assertive. Like, we have to become our own best friends.
Acknowledge. Absolutely. Celebrate and acknowledge. It's a big part of my work with my clients too. Yeah. For sure. You have to.
Because I think a lot of people go to the gym, or people I work with, like, you know, they have some kind of goal, they do it and they don't acknowledge it, or they don't actually realize that they just came so far. They kind of are like, well, I should do that. Why should I tell myself good job? I mean, that's something I should do, is take a shower. And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't take a shower for like, you know, 5 years, or you were, you know, or you were living, or you didn't exercise for like a decade. So now that you are, why aren't you proud of yourself? And I do think that all this journey is just so multi-layered, and it's obviously based on, like, every individual has a different kind of approach, I think, to their life plan. And I think it's important that people see someone like you, someone like me, people that work with people one-on-one, to kind of help develop an individualized treatment plan for their life, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And if celebrating those seemingly small moments just keeps you motivated to keep doing it. It makes you feel good. It gives you that good vibration in your body to keep moving forward, so you don't stop doing it, you know, otherwise it kind of becomes a chore. But when you're like, wow, I did that. I worked, you know, I walked around the block yesterday and that felt great. I'm going to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you talked about emotional eating, and I know this is like a whole nother very long topic, which we'll love to have you back on about many more topics, but and just from your experience, you know, when people are kind of eating emotionally as a distraction, just like we use, like you said, shopping or drinking or, you know, whatever that is, how do we begin to tell, like, how do you begin to tell yourself, it's very hard for my clients that are emotional eaters, like to, you know, not give into that pull. Like, mm-hmm. I really want this. I'm upset about work. I'm stressed about my relationship. I'm stressed about this. And they turn to food. How do we get them to kind of change that thought process?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what I like to do is have my clients write out, I call it your sweet menu. So instead of, you know, food, you pick something off your sweet menu to do instead. So to really think about what makes me happy. You know, is that going for a walk with my dog or, you know, giving my daughter a big hug and a kiss? It could be, you know, I'm trying to think of mine.
So this is your sweet menu or things that like light you up and fill you up.
Yeah,
besides,
that makes you really happy. Yeah, little
like
things.
Listening to music or cooking a meal,
right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Self-care.
Some people, it's, you know, cleaning their bathroom. Like it could be anything that just makes you happy. And so instead of picking up the food, you can pick something off of your sweet menu instead and kind of try to interrupt that pattern. Another thing would be to start writing things down. So if something is triggering you to reach for that crunchy bag of chips, you know, in the pantry when you get home from a hard day, to write down, you know, what is that trigger? Like, what was it that made me want to reach for those chips? And get really mm-hmm. curious with it. And don't judge yourself. Absolutely. No judgment. Just pure curiosity. You know, what is that? So that you can begin to identify those patterns. And then that awareness alone can be enough to really kind of move out of that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's really true. And I think developing that sweet menu, like you said, that list of things that are your go-to is so important. And if you don't have any, or you can't think of any, because I know mm-hmm. my clients always say to me, like, I don't know what I like to do, or I don't know what makes me feel mm-hmm. good. I would suggest to take a week and try a bunch of different things, or a month.
Totally.
You know, I think acting out, which is what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, acting out. So that's whether that's dealing with people in recovery like I do, and they're acting out by using alcohol or drugs, acting out by using food, acting out by shopping, acting out by gambling. We need mm-hmm. to begin to kind of find like opposite or other healthy behaviors, like you're saying, mm-hmm. as like a toolbox. It is a toolbox. I mean, it's like, oh gosh, you know, I'm feeling stressed. I'm going to take a bath. Like for me, that helped mm-hmm. me so much when I was changing my life. And, or I'm going to take a run, or I'm going to, you know, go to the farmer's market and buy something like gorgeous flowers or whatever that mm-hmm. is. It's to really, I think, try things. Cause I think a lot of people may not know what lights them up anymore, or they have to rediscover it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have no idea, and we don't even ask ourselves what we really want. We just kind of go through life and it is what it is. And so mm-hmm. I like to really, you know, help my clients get clear. What is it that you want? And if they say, I don't know, sometimes I'm like, well, what if you did know, you know? And I love what you say to like, go just try a bunch of different things, because there's so much out there that you're not exposed to yet, that if you do it once, this might become your new favorite thing. You might love meditating and you had no idea, but you tried it one day for 5 minutes and you're like, wow, I felt amazing. I'm going to put meditating on my sweet menu next time I have, you know, a craving for a certain food. And to, you know, even make a list of those things. Just, again, get quiet with yourself. You know, what do you value in life, and understand what your core values are, and try to live a little bit more in alignment with those. And little by little, I mean, that can make a big impact on your life.
Oh, absolutely. And I strongly believe in core values. It's always what I write about, and establishing new ones when you have come from maybe a place where your priorities have shifted or your intentions for your life have shifted, your values will shift. You know, you'll start probably valuing integrity a little bit more, authenticity a little bit more, new kind of freedom. And I think it's wonderful to write these things down and kind of reflect on it, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's so important.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And also, you know, when you were just saying about kind of changing the way that you look at things. The word change just like popped in my head, because I think just, you know, one of the last things I want to leave people with is that change is a positive thing, and stepping into new activities and new hobbies and trying new things is all a change. But if we don't begin to take action and do that, we're never going to grow. And I think with growth becomes, there's so much happiness when we begin to grow and can see what we're capable of.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, I always say, you know, we're made up of the same material as the universe, and the universe is growing every single day exponentially. So we are wired for growth. So if we're just sitting stagnant and still, that's against our very nature. And so we can become bitter and depressed and sad. And we have to keep moving and keep growing and expanding our awareness, our consciousness, and ourselves to that next level.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Nicole, thank you so much for joining me today. I know everyone.
Thank you.
I mean, there's so many great tips and so much goodness that you're giving out into the universe, and I really appreciate it. So everyone can find Nicole at thenourishedgoddess.com. That's thenourishedgoddess.com. Right, Nicole? Got it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And make sure we'll put up all your information for the summit, and make sure that, you know, everyone comes and listens to all these amazing people, 21 wellness experts that are going to be sharing their tips, tools, and ways to live a healthy life. So, Nicole, thank you so much for being with me. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you for joining us, and stay well. Your health and wellness library is not complete without Rewired, a breakthrough new approach to addiction recovery and wellness from addiction expert Erica Spiegelman, who is the host of Rewired Radio on Radio MD. Rewired provides a holistic approach to create a personalized treatment plan for addiction and a wellness plan for anyone who wants to make positive changes. Rewired will help you navigate addiction and all of life's challenges. Discover why Rewired gets 5-star reviews. Order your copy of Rewired today by Erica Spiegelman at Amazon.com.